Episode 83.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, I finally take care of some listener feedback in the form of a question from Chris over at Niche Site Tools. He wants to know about changing themes on a website. The other thing that we deal with today is a fantastic tip from my buddy Alex Miller over at the Rankings Institute. Alex Miller is an SEO expert, and he's got some very important don't do's for you when you're building links to your money site. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Well, hey there, and greetings from the beautiful city of Taipei, Taiwan. I'm your host, Mark Mason, and I'm on the road, as you might imagine. And I am currently looking out over a sunrise coming up over Taipei City. Taipei is a really busy place. I don't know, 7 million people live here right in the center of the city. It's really amazing, fantastic metro system. I just actually rode that for the first time on this trip. I'd never been on the Taipei Metro before. I was amazed at how clean and easy to navigate it is. And now I'm really dangerous in Taipei. I used to be a taxi cab guy, but now that I've discovered that I can safely navigate the metro system without getting lost, or at least without getting completely lost, I'm really dangerous. One of the real challenges for me in navigating countries in Asia, especially countries that use Chinese characters, is that you lose that ability to sound things out. You know, if you're in Germany or a country that uses a Western character set, then it's a lot easier to kind of find your way around. But for me, Chinese characters, I'm not so good at that. I can find the one usually that means chicken. So if I'm really in a jam in a restaurant, I can recognize the character that means chicken. Other than that, I'm just a mess when it comes to navigating these cities. And in fact, on my iPhone, I have these things that I call to-go cards, and they say things in Chinese characters like, take me to this factory, or take me to this hotel, or take me to the train station. And so I can always jump in a car into a taxi and pull up one of these things on my iPhone and show it to the driver. That usually works pretty well, and it's kind of a funny way to get around town. The other trick I use sometimes is if I get lost in a city like this, I'll go into a major hotel and just go to the concierge desk, because even if you're not staying at the hotel, if you just walk up to the desk, almost all concierge desks will have someone that speaks English, and that can help you get around. So that's my tricks for traveling around Asia. Today, the first thing I want to do is I want to talk to you about a question from Chris. Chris, I am so sorry that it has taken me so long. Chris is my buddy over at nichesitetools.com. If you haven't checked that out, I encourage you to go on over there and give Chris a shout out. Tell him Mark says hello. He had a great question that came in over the summer that I just mishandled in my queue of things to do about how to change themes, and he's changing away from thesis, which I've recommended for a long time, wants to know how to do that. So let's hear that question from Chris.
And now, it's time to hear what listeners just like you are thinking. Late Night Listener Feedback.
Hey, Mark, it's Chris from NicheSiteTools.com. Yeah, I got a question for you today in regards to changing themes. I currently use Thesis 185 and I'm finding it's not really mobile responsive, and I was thinking about doing a redesign for my site anyway. So I was thinking about converting over from like Thesis 185 to one of the elegant themes. And I'm curious if you could give some tips and tricks on how to avoid losing any rankings, traffic, and just any gotchas if you've done something similar in the past. So wanted to kind of get your opinion, see what you thought, and would appreciate it if you could let us know. Thanks so much. Appreciate what you're doing as always, and welcome back to the podcast. See ya.
Okay, so Chris, that's an excellent question. So first of all, regarding Thesis, I still think Thesis as a framework is great. If you're a developer particularly, I think it's just fine, but I've lost interest in messing with Thesis. They lost me when they went to Thesis 2.0, and I still think it's a fine theme, but usability for a guy like me, who is not a real developer, who just kind of pretends to do some coding here and there, is really poor. And I think it's not designed for that. It's not designed for me. And I think it's really not designed anymore for people who are just kind of getting started in internet marketing and building websites. So I don't really use Thesis anymore either. I mean, I've got some legacy sites that still use Thesis, and I don't think there's any reason to change away from it. It's still a very good theme, very solidly built as far as I know. Everything is just fine, but from an ease of use standpoint, I don't recommend it to people anymore. I've, Elegant Themes, Woo Themes, the Genesis framework, all of those famous combinations of frameworks and themes, I find a lot easier to use. And, that's where I've been steering people. I will tell you that, in my particular case, when I build a new website, oftentimes I will still use Thesis if my virtual assistant is starting the website, because she's really good at creating the websites the way that I like them with Thesis. And my website developer is also a Thesis guru. So I do still use it, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend it for you if you're starting out. I'd take a look at Genesis and Woo and Elegant. I think those are all excellent choices, and give you a lot of options in terms of things like responsive design, which can be really important. If you saw the recent post over at Pat Flynn's website, over at the Smart Passive Income website, Pat has been doing some analysis of his stats on the Niche Site Duel, and he was recently able to show that his security guard training website has some enormous amount of mobile traffic, but the theme that he's using isn't responsive. And that's a big gap for him. He's made some changes to that theme in that area, and all of a sudden dramatically increased his AdSense revenue on the site. That's a very interesting post, and I'll point to a link for you to that post on the show notes. That just goes to show you that, you really need to be looking at your stats on these kind of sites and trying to put yourself in the position of people who are using your site and see what it is that you might need to change. And in the case of Thesis, particularly the older version of Thesis, it's not mobile responsive. The old version is not. So that's a problem, and that's a good reason to switch away from a theme to get that mobile responsiveness. Of course, you never know what the effect of that's going to be, and you need to test things. The question that Chris asks is, what can he do to make sure that there's no negative impact on his theme? On his site when he changes themes. So first of all, from an SEO standpoint, there's a couple of things that you need to pay attention to when you change themes in order to make sure that you don't have a negative impact on your site. So the first thing is, when you change themes that have some infrastructure in them from SEO for SEO purposes, like they rewrite the title tags or they rewrite the meta description, you need to make sure that you understand what the result is, because those title tags particularly are going to be used by Google. When they index your site, that's what's going to show up in the search listings is those title tags. The title tag for your page is the line that shows up in the Google search results. And so if your theme does something to change those, particularly, for example, let's say that it adds the name of your website to the end of every title of every page. That's a common thing that WordPress does. That is going to impact your SEO if that wasn't happening before. And generally, since that information is usually not relevant to the page that you're trying to get listed, it's usually duplicate content. That's going to be a negative impact. So you want to watch for those things. The best way to get control over all of this, in my opinion, is to use the Yoast SEO plugin. We've talked about that some on the show, but for most themes, the Yoast SEO plugin will override any weird stuff, or maybe not even weird stuff, but any stuff that the theme is doing in terms of SEO and can make sure that you have control over that. Another thing that the theme may be influencing is the creation of archive pages and category pages and other kinds of sources of duplicate content on your site. Now, we've talked about duplicate content a lot, but when you change themes, you want to be careful that you don't do something to instantly create a bunch of duplicates of your posts inside your own site. We've talked about the fact before that there's essentially two kinds of duplicate content. There's your content existing in multiple places on your site. That's bad. Google really doesn't like that. And there's content from other places in the internet that's owned by other people in the eyes of Google appearing on your site, making it look like that you are duplicating content that's already on the internet. It's the first case that we're talking about here where you've got all these great posts, but in addition to the post URL themselves, you might have category pages that reprint those posts. And you want to be careful if you change themes that you either don't do that, don't allow the theme to do that, or that those pages do not appear in Google's index. And you can do that by no indexing those pages. But whatever you do, you want to make sure that all of the content of your site appears once and only once in the eyes of Google. Otherwise, it makes your site look spammy, and so you want to be careful of that kind of thing. So those are the things that I would recommend to check. Make sure you don't muck with the SEO settings for title tags and that sort of thing. Make sure that your theme doesn't create a bunch of duplicate content on your site through archive or author pages or category pages. And then the other thing that I would say is make sure you have good statistics in place so that you can observe any changes in clicking behavior on your site. So again, using Pat as an example, when he switched themes on the Smart Passive Income blog, he saw a dramatic decrease in some important page statistics. I'll also try to find that post for you, but basically, Pat found that the design of the new theme actually affected how much time people were spending on his site, and it affected how they were clicking around and clicking through on his site and opting in and all kinds of stuff that was important to him. So the takeaway there is if you're going to change themes, you want to make sure that you have Google Analytics up and running and well installed. Again, I recommend the Yoast Google Analytics plugin for this to make sure that Google Analytics is installed and properly configured on your site. And you want to have a good history of that up and running so that you can see any changes for better or for worse that occur when you change the theme due to design elements. Maybe your header's too big. Maybe your new theme pushes some important links below the fold and now people can't see them. Maybe some menu options that were there on your current theme are gone now and people were really clicking on those. And so I definitely recommend that you do that. Another thing that you should do probably before you change your theme is install a tool like Crazy Egg and make sure that you understand what it is that people are clicking on your site and make sure that either you fix your site with the new theme to improve Maybe people are clicking on something you don't want them necessarily trying to click on. Maybe you improve the usability on your site, or if something goes wrong, you'll have that crazy egg data to see what people were clicking on and what their people are clicking on now. Crazy Egg is a tool. You install some code in your website and it allows you to observe users and what they're clicking on your site, either in the form of heat maps or live mouse movements. It's really cool. I'll also put a link to Crazy Egg in the show notes. Highly recommended tool for understanding what's going on with your site. So that's what I would do. I would make sure you don't mess up your SEO. As mentioned, Yoast plugin, really good way to do that. And I would make sure that you don't mess up your user experience monitoring that with Google Analytics and Crazy Egg. I hope that helps. I hope you enjoy your switch to Elegant Themes. If you haven't done that already, Chris, again, I'm very sorry for the long delay. And I hope you have an absolutely fantastic transition with your website. All right, so the next thing I want to talk about is a voicemail that I got, or pre-recorded message that I got from my buddy Alex Miller over at the Rankings Institute. You guys know I'm a big fan of Rankings Institute. I've learned a lot from those guys to great effect. And I asked Alex to come on the show like Andrew did in the previous episode. But the truth of the matter is Andrew was so busy preparing content for the recent launch of Rankings Institute that he didn't have time to sit with us for an entire hour. We will do that in the future. But what he did have time to do, what I was able to talk him into, was to give us a tip, an SEO tip. And one of the great things about Alex is that he runs an SEO firm for SEO firms. So he's a service provider to SEO firms. And one of the impacts of that is that he's tracking the performance of hundreds, thousands, I guess maybe now, client websites. So he knows what, in aggregate, what his clients are trying to rank for, and what their rankings are, and what SEO products they're ordering. So he knows what works and what doesn't work, and he knows that across a bunch of niches and a bunch of clients. So he can get a really good picture of what these Panda algorithms are doing and what things are happening out in SEO. So he's got some tips for us that are based on his actual experience across thousands, hundreds or thousands of customers at his SEO company. I have found this, in addition to the fact that Alex is really smart, I have found this to be an incredibly huge competitive advantage for this guy. Alex, he knows what's going on based on data. And that's going to be something that separates the men from the boys, if you will, in the SEO game. SEO opinions are like belly buttons. You know, everybody's got one. Everybody's got an opinion, including me, about, well, I think this works and I think that works. What separates guys like Alex from guys like me is Alex is a guy who actually has data, not across a few sites, but across a few hundreds or a few thousand sites, and can really see what's going on. With that as an introduction, let me take you straight to Alex and let's see what he has to say.
Hi there, this is Alex Miller, friends of Mark Mason, who invited me recently to jump on to one of his shows to have a talk about the new Rankings Institute course that's coming out very soon. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it onto the show as I'm very busy completing the remaining content, video content specifically, for the new course, ensuring that everything is going to be ready. But instead, I thought I would just pre-record a little tip for Mark's listeners, an actionable tip that you can implement immediately for your SEO campaigns. So there's obviously a lot of things that I could discuss, but I wanted to talk a little bit about linking, very popular topic, of course, and very important when it comes to SEO, and just got a couple of tips that I wanted to give. So our data has shown time and time and time again that if you are linking to your money site, the sites that you own, using mass links generated, especially with software programs, then you are absolutely killing your sites and you want to avoid this at all costs. This includes links such as article submissions, mass article submissions, mass directory submissions, even mass social bookmarks. I see endless product services out there offering, you know, 500 bookmarks for $5. That is pretty much the last thing I would ever order for my money site. And I would highly recommend that you stop doing this as soon as possible. If you are going to do something like a directory submission campaign or a social bookmarking campaign, then you want to do all of those manually and you want to do them on the low volume side. So instead of doing 500 social bookmarks, why not submit a manual submission to 5 of the most authoritative social bookmarking sites that are currently out there. So no mass links, guys, to the money site. And actually, on the topic of link volumes, what we are seeing is working consistently well is a low volume of high quality links to your money site. You can absolutely dominate the rankings with as little as sort of 50 to 100 links. That's not a specific number that's always going to work for your niche and your campaigns, but we have a lot of sites that we collect data on, and we are, as I say, we are seeing that using a softer touch approach is working tremendously well. So links that I would be accruing would be guest posts, for example. Those are the king of kings. Through manual blog outreach, they do require more effort, but they are very, very much worth it. Blog posts that are on high page rank sites, extremely powerful. They always have been, and that hasn't changed. So focus on accruing a much higher quality type of link, as opposed to thinking, right, I need to get hundreds and hundreds or thousands of links to my site to get the movement that I'm looking for. So please do take that in mind. If you're doing any mass linking at all of any nature to your money site, then I would stop this absolutely immediately. Even if you are using the brand or the URL as anchor text, it is not a good idea. It's not producing good results. The only exception is press releases, mainly because those sites have a much higher authority. So I hope this has helped. If you focus on obtaining a lower volume of higher quality links, you will see much, much better results in the SERPs and for your campaigns. Okay, thank you very much for listening to these handful of tips. And for those of you who are joining the Rankings Institute, we will see you on the inside. Thank you.
Okay, so that's some pretty clear advice from Alex. If you're in the business, as I have been in the past, of buying these junk links, directory links, mass submissions, mass social bookmarks, mass comments, mass anything automated, that's not the way to go on your money site, on the site that you're really trying to rank for the long term, whether it's your affiliate marketing site or, you know, your site like latenightim.com. In fact, I'll tell you, over the last 8 years of messing around with masonworld.com and latenightim.com, I have bought a lot of these different kinds of links in an effort to study how these things work and to get the site working better. And those have worked in the past. And now they're a real boat anchor. They're a detriment. And so I've been working hard to clean up this kind of stuff based on the stuff that I've learned in the Rankings Institute, to great effect. So absolutely, positively follow Alex's advice here. Be very careful and do not use these massive social bookmarking links. It is true that you can sometimes get temporary bumps from some of these techniques, but the truth of the matter is they never last. And when a lot of times we've seen in the Rankings Institute, when people say, hey, wait a minute, I see a site with 100,000 backlinks this ranking, we'll go back and look at that site weeks or months later, and it'll be completely gone out of the rankings because those things just don't hold up. Eventually, Google catches up with that and those sites go away. So that's the advice from Alex. I hope you enjoyed that, and I'll be seeing you in episode 84 really soon. Have a fantastic day, and get something done on your business this week. Ciao.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then,
go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
Hey, so you know, I always record these segments at the end just for fun to see who's still with me. But I forgot this time because I was in a hurry and I was in the hotel. And as you can probably hear, now I'm on the aircraft. And I'm actually in the lav. I'm on the upper deck of old 747. Actually, the inside of it's pretty nice on EVA Airways. And in the old days, the upper deck was the first class cabin. And sometimes there was a bar and stuff upstairs, like a lounge. On this aircraft, it's configured for business class. But the old first class lavatory is up and running up here, complete with a window. So it always cracks me up to be in an airplane lav with a window. I don't know. It's just very strange. But I'm looking out, and I can't see anything but ocean. I'll talk to you guys again soon. Here we are at reporting to you live from the 747 first class lavatory at 37,000 feet. Ciao.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me. In 2007, when I was trying to get started, there were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late Night Internet Marketing.